Mike Dolce Show, episode 97. And today we are going to be speaking with Mr. Stephen Ray. Stephen Ray is the reigning lightweight Cage Warriors champion. And he also is a Dolce Diet user and advocate. We're going to get Stephen on the line to talk about his career, his experience. He's actually an interesting young lad. And let's give him a holler and hear what he has to say. All right, everybody. We have Stephen Braveheart Ray on the line. Stephen, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm great, Mike. Thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, bro. Now, where are you right now? You're on a little holiday?
I've just came. It's still in Scotland. It's a little town called Creath. I'm just at the cottages up there. There's like a leisure place for kids and stuff. So I've came up there with my fiance and my two kids.
Ah, very nice. How old are your kids?
One of them's two and one's three.
Very.
So I've got my work cut out for me.
Yeah, Jesus. And that's actually brings us to a great point. So how do you train? Cause, I mean, being a professional MMA fighter and you're a three-time champion, Cage Warriors champion, that's a difficult title to carry and continue. How do you manage being a family man? I mean, two kids, that's busy.
Yeah, well, I lived in a little place called Fife for basically my whole life. And when I started getting better and stuff, I had to make the move to the sort of best team in Scotland and one of the best teams in the UK, which is the Dinky Ninja Fight Team. So I had to move home and stuff as well, which was pretty tough. So I moved roughly about an hour away from where I usually live, where my friends and family are. So I could basically do it just because my fiance puts up with it, luckily enough for me.
That's awesome.
She watches the kids while I go out and train in daytime, come home, eat, relax, and then go and train at night again.
And how do you, a lot of athletes, they have issues getting their rest, because when they come home, then the kids, obviously, they want to see and spend time with daddy, but I mean, you have to get 6, 7, preferably 8 hours of sleep a night. You find that difficult?
Luckily they both sleep all night, so I still get a good sleep at night time. Sometimes my daughter gets up through the night, but when I get home for training, I'm sometimes really tired, and then my fiance is really tired from sort of watching the kids, so it's a little bit of an argument sometimes. I've been training and I need rest, and she's been on the go with the kids and she needs rest. So,
nice.
It's pretty funny sometimes. But so, yeah, I get plenty of sleep.
And you're from Scotland?
Yeah, from Scotland.
How big is the MMA scene out there? Because we know a few Scottish fighters that they're just killing it. How's it going? How popular is MMA?
It's getting really, really busy now. There's quite a lot of gyms all over Scotland. Just more and more people are getting on board, like the sort of uneducated people. There's still a lot of uneducated people where they think it's just like a brutal sport and they don't understand that it's really technical and it's a professional sort of sport and there's professional athletes and stuff. But yeah, we've got now two Scottish fighters, two of my teammates are now in the UFC. Joanne Calderwood and Robert Whiteford.
Ah, Robert Whiteford, we love him.
He's one of my teammates that I train at the Grip House. So, yeah, and then we've got Joanne, who's currently on the Ultimate Fighter 20.
Yeah, I remember her. I was I helped out Gil Melendez on that season.
Yeah, so I'm looking to basically get up beside them and start fighting on the biggest scene.
And how do you feel? How close do you feel you are? Obviously, you're the Cage Warriors lightweight champion. That holds a lot of weight because Cage Warriors is the biggest show in the UK.
Yeah, biggest show in UK and probably Europe. So one of the biggest in the world. Obviously, the UFC is the biggest. So yeah, I feel like I'm ready. It was just maybe because I lost my fight at New Year's Eve to a guy called Ivan Buchner. I went out and I beat him up for 3 rounds, and I got caught by submission in the 4th round. I was a little bit ill that day as well. I was ill from the weight cut, actually. I ruined sort of the stuff I ate, and I ended up with sickness and diarrhea.
Jesus.
No giving that away, though. I still sort of technically gave up my back and lost by submission in the 4th round. But if anybody watched the fight, you'll see like I nearly knock him out a few times in the fight and sort of all over him, and then he comes back and beats me. So
I'd love to hear about that bad weight cut, because that's before you started 3 weeks to shred it.
Yeah, well, before, sometimes I got into a bad habit, like because I had dieted for so long, I would get to the weigh-in, and because I know that I've made weight, I think, right, I can eat what I want now. And
yep.
And it's not even, I still was eating clean sometimes, but I was forgetting that, like, my body, stomach, like, the stomach shrinks and stuff when you're dieting that much. So I thought I could go back to eating the same size portions as I do when I'm not dieting. And yeah, what happened is I ordered a sandwich from the hotel, and I was wondering why it was so expensive, and it came with like a big plate of fries and stuff. So I ended up eating it all, and then me and my teammates were going out to Nando's a few hours later. I got to Nando's and I had like what I would usually have at Nando's as well. So I ate far too much in a short period of time. A lot of carbs, and I was really, my stomach was like feeling like it was going to explode. So I ended up going to the bathroom and actually trying to make myself sick, putting my fingers down my throat, just because I had so much pain in my stomach. And the next day, basically, I woke up, I had diarrhea the whole day, like 5 minutes before the fight and stuff. I was on the toilet, and I was actually worrying that I was going to shit myself in the cage. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to end up going out and shitting myself. So it was a bit of a mental worry as well, like going out in front on TV, defending my world title New Year's Eve. And I was kind of, my mind was a little bit on that as well, but I still managed to go out and dominate the fight for 3 rounds, so I'm not sure if the illness sort of had anything to do with it, but it did sort of play a factor mentally as well.
And while you were eating like that, did you know in the back of your head that, hey, I shouldn't be doing this, I'm being a little greedy here, and I got to focus on business? Did that thought ever go through your head while you were chowing down?
Yeah, definitely. I always kind of think like I probably shouldn't be eating this, but I'll be all right. I'm not fighting till the next day, because I used to, like, sometimes I would eat a little bit more than what I should the day before, and I would end up with cramps in my stomach, and I'd have to get like a hot water bottle and try and drink the hot drinks after it and to try and digest better. But I always just thought, like, as long as I don't feel like this on the day of the fight, I'll be okay. But
yeah,
definitely since I've started the 3 weeks of shredded, like the small portions every 2 to 4 hours, and I just continued to do that after the weigh-in this time as well. And I just felt great for it. Still eating clean meals, small meals, and not rushing. Like, even if I felt like totally hungry and greedy after, I'm just like, no, just stop eating. I'll eat again in 2 hours' time. And yeah, it was just a lot better. I went into the fight feeling a lot better, a lot more in shape.
That's so beautiful. And that's obviously the concept, and that's what we try and teach. One of the principles: we eat until satisfied, not until full. We eat every 2 to 4 hours. So we're going to just keep eating. Every 2 hours, we're going to have another small meal nonstop. So the body can digest, absorb, and utilize the nutrients that we put in. So we'll be prepared, especially when we have to compete the next day. And that's one of the, you know, it's it's just, it seemed, it's common sense once you do it. Well, geez, that makes sense. Instead of just eating until you can't eat anymore, there's just so much food in your stomach. Your digestive system can't break it down, especially if you've just gone done cutting weight, because now your digestive system is very fragile and it's going to be difficult to break down the normal foods, let alone an excessive quantity of foods that you might not be comfortable with already.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when I started listening to your podcast, because I always knew that you were good at helping people cut weight and stuff, and like Thiago Alves and everybody just that you seem to help all look like big guys as well. So I always kind of was intrigued and interested in following yourself's ideas. And then it's when I noticed that there was a podcast I can download on my iPhone. I started listening to that, and just that's kind of changed the way I look at food now. Even like before, during training camp, I would have like my dinner at around 5 o'clock, but it would be like my biggest meal of the day, and then I would usually feel quite bloated after it. But I just used to say to myself, "Well, I'm not training for another 2 hours, so I'll be okay." But yeah, and then I just love how it's every 2 to 4 hours now, and that's just, I feel like that's changed and makes me train better and stuff.
Perfect. And that's a big part of it. A lot of athletes, and I try and stress the fact, you've probably heard that you're a professional athlete 365 days out of the year. And the higher you go up in competition, the better the athletes are, the better prepared the athletes are, the more genetically gifted the athletes are. So if you take one day off, that one day could be a day that your competitor didn't take off that year. And that one day can be that split second technique that stops the fight, or that allows him one more push and earns the victory. And that's, I always point to a guy like GSP. GSP was very physically gifted, athletically extremely talented. He could probably have been an Olympian in a number of sports had he wanted to. He chose mixed martial arts. But here's a guy that doesn't take time off. When he's not competing, he's in the gym training, he's traveling the world. And that was one of the things that he felt he needed to back away from and be a normal person in life. But being a normal person doesn't make you a world champion sometimes. So when your goal is to be a world champion, you have to become completely focused. And that's some of the things that we've uncovered in this show when we have had high-level athletes, world champions on. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Flex Lewis, the Welsh Dragon. He's the 212.
I didn't kind of know him before, but and then it's when I listened to your podcast with Flex the other day. Or the other week, because I've been, ever since, I'm not sure which one I started, it was a few months ago I started listening to your podcast. I'm always going on the little app and checking if you've updated yet.
Awesome.
Every single day I'm just wanting to listen, so I listened to the one with Flex. It was quite interesting just to hear, like, from a bodybuilding sort of side of it, like what he eats, and I kind of feel like that's what I used to do when I was, before I started the principles that you use, like eating 2 to 4 hours and earth-grown foods and stuff, I feel like I was maybe going too strict on myself the last 3 weeks of the fight, and I wouldn't have any energy at all in training. But this time, like, I was a little bit worried, because when I was eating the portions and stuff that's on the new 3 weeks of shredded, I was thinking, I'm eating a lot more than what I used to eat. So, and I used to, like I said, I used to have my last meal at 5 o'clock, my last sort of big meal. I would go and train at maybe 7 for like 2-3 hours. And then sometimes I was just having a protein shake after that. I'd go to bed hungry. I wouldn't get a good sleep because I'd be waking up hungry all the time. So it was much better to be having a smaller meal before training and then getting like the sugars straight in after training.
Yep.
And then another meal, like 8 o'clock. I didn't used to think that you could eat late at night, but I was obviously been listening to what you've been saying. It doesn't matter what time it is, as long as it's every 2 to 4 hours. And it's not like a lot of carbs and stuff. So, because a lot of the meals was like some salmon at 8 o'clock with veggies,
yeah,
or chicken and veggies and stuff. So, yeah, I really like that.
That's awesome.
Going to bed full and getting a much better sleep.
And that's it. And unfortunately, and I don't know where that myth began, that you're not allowed to eat after 6 o'clock or after 8 o'clock, or you're not allowed to eat 2 or 4 hours before you go to bed. But obviously, that's bunk, because that's not what you're doing. And you're looking lean as hell. You have energy for days. You're out there to, able to go out there and compete and win world title fights. And I think that dispels the myth that as long as we're awake and we're on track with our meal plan, we're eating the right meals, and of course, we're exercising, then you can eat whatever you want and you can eat more food. And I think that's something you had just said, that you were a little shocked at how much food there was on a weight cutting program. And that's the whole
I was continuously weighing myself, like, oh no, I'm not sure if I should eat this, but I just followed it. Just fought, like, having steak. I think I had steak a week out, and I just usually didn't think you would be able to do that. And I'm having steak late, and it was late at night as well, and I'm thinking, oh no, what will I do? And I had a couple of, like, little scares, because for some reason, the Wednesday night of the weigh-ins, so 2 days before the weigh-ins, at night time I weighed myself and I was 82.5 kilo, I think I was, or 82.5 kilo, which is roughly 182 pounds, I think. And I was like, oh my, oh, what's happened? I was looking at myself in the mirror. I was bloated. My face was like bloated up. I just looked really full and really big. And I was like, oh no, I'm not going to make weight. I text my coach and stuff saying, oh, I can't believe this. Like, I look really bloated. I think something's happened to my body. What am I going to do? Like, I fight at 155. I was, like, close to 185, 30 pounds in 2 days or something. But I didn't know what happened to my body. I was really panicking, like, oh, my body's reacted different to it. But the weird thing was, is that same morning, I was, like, 70... What was that? I was, like, something like 10 pounds lighter. Maybe even more. So I'm like, what's going on? But I just went to bed, and it must have just been the dandelion root, because I was water loading as well, sorry. Because I was water loading, I woke up the next morning like 14 pounds lighter, and I was still fully hydrated for some reason. So I'm not sure what happened.
Science, my brother.
My body. Yeah, yeah, but I was really panicking. But and then I woke up really light. I was my urine was still white, so I knew I was still hydrated. And yeah, and it was an easy cut from there. I woke up and on the Thursday. usually I 24 hours out, I wouldn't eat a thing. Sometimes even longer, I would like starve myself and I wouldn't drink any water. But because I had followed the program for like 3 weeks solid, I was like, right, I'm just sticking with this. And I woke up and I had the porridge, the oat bran with the blueberry, half a cup of blueberries and the chia seeds and stuff, and just followed that, the black coffee with coconut oil. And then I was just, the way it was falling off. And then I got to the hotel. I was like the lightest I had been sort of the night before my weigh-in. I'd done one salt bath and I nearly woke up on weight.
Wow.
I woke up at 156.8. I had 1.8 pounds to go. So, and then even throughout the day, I was still going to the toilet a little bit. The day of the weigh-ins, so I was thinking I might actually not have to go for another salt bath or sauna. But and then I got down to 155.4. So I basically had like 0.4 of a pound to go and lose. I just quickly jumped in the sauna. It took me like 10 minutes. Well, I'd done 10 minutes, even though I probably could have done less, just to sort of make sure. And then, yeah, it was 154.5 easily.
That's awesome.
So,
That's awesome.
That was great.
And that's what we talk about, where we cut weight healthy. We feed athletes to the scale. And it gets – the first time you go through it, it's a little scary because you're thinking, holy shit, I haven't – I'm eating so much food right now. How can I lose weight? Because in the past, I would have to starve myself, and it would be difficult. Now I'm eating tons of food, and you're a little nervous that the weight won't come off. And that Wednesday, that is the water loading day, and it's absolutely normal. Normal and expected for that. That'll be probably your heaviest day almost of the entire training camp, because we pump so much water through our body to keep us hydrated, knowing that we're going to have to start a semi-dehydration process, you know, in the next 24 to 36 hours to get ready for the scale. So this preps the body, it hydrates the system, and it allows your body to naturally push the weight out. I call it the slingshot effect. So your body naturally will rid the water without you having to go sit in the hot tub or the salt bath or work out or do anything like that. So we use science to allow the body to lose weight in a natural fashion, but keeping you healthy. And then we feed you consistently. I'm so happy that you stuck with the program and you kept on eating, because by eating, you're staying healthy. You're giving your body all the vital nutrients it needs, but we're keeping our metabolism moving. And one of the biggest issues with guys cutting weight is they stop eating, so their metabolism stops, and that's where they hit a sticking point. That's why it gets so hard.
Science just... like eating, you end up waking up lighter because you're boosting your metabolism and stuff. Like, I had an apple the night before as well, and it just mentally felt a bit good just to eat an apple before bed. It kept me going throughout the weight cut, and like, usually I would be just, and the same again, I got a good sleep, best sleep I've ever had the night before. Usually I'm up, I'm worried, the sort of fight's coming up soon, the weigh-ins are soon, and there's a lot on your mind, you're starving. And you've not drank any water, so I usually am up every hour, but I think I got about 10 hours sleep.
How beautiful.
So obviously, sleep's important as well, like you hear in your podcast, a lot of sleep. And I felt great on the weigh-ins, great on the fight. And I really think it helped with my fight. Just I'm going to do the 3 weeks to shredded all the time. And the good thing about it as well, that kind of kept me a little bit better. When Thiago, like, because it's based on Thiago Alves' weight cut, he was like maybe 8 pounds heavier than me when I started. So instead of having like a black coffee with coconut oil, I was adding a little bit of grass-fed butter and just kind of tweaking it a little bit just because I knew that I was a lot lighter than what Thiago was, and it was working for me. I was making sure that I was still losing weight the next day, and I was able to eat just a little more, just purely because I was a bit smaller than what Alves was when he started. So it was good.
That's perfect. And everything we want to do is we want to tailor these programs to the athlete. You know, that's why we speak in principles and we don't really talk about template diets. Obviously, the program that's written in the book, so many people have followed to this point. And it's not just men, but women. We have many, many women, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of women that have tried this version of 3 weeks of shredded and report amazing results with very little tweaking of the meal plan. And that's one of the beautiful things, is that you don't have to make many changes. You just need to personalize some of the meals, some of the ingredients for yourself, and make sure that it suits your personal lifestyle. And that's the beauty of it. As long as you're accountable and you're not just making, you know, being a glutton and finding excuses to cheat, as long as you're accountable, it becomes extremely easy to tailor these things in. So I'm glad you were able to do that and find that.
That's good. I'm trying now, like, because I'm on board and stuff as well, I'm trying to like spread this out as much as possible. My kids, like my fiance, kind of just gives them chicken nuggets and all that sort of stuff for tea. But ever since I've sort of, because a little before I started the 3 weeks of shredded, I got the Living Lean book, and I was having the Power Pasta and the Champion Chili. So I was given like the Champion Chili, just making Champion Chili a big huge meal of it, and then serving it out to my kids and fiance and stuff as well. She loves it. She likes it with a little bit of grated cheese on it.
Beautiful. I love that.
So yeah, just spreading it out and trying to get everybody else on board.
Nice. So now let's talk about your fight. You fought Kurt Warburton. Kurt Warburton is – he's one of the best lightweights to come out of the UK, and he's also a UFC veteran. And I see now you hold – so you actually – you guys fought three times now?
Yeah, we fought the first time 2012. That was on Bama. I had the Lonsdale British title, and, yeah, he had signed, and I think – he had been released. He fought three times in the UFC, won once, and then got cut after losing to Joe Lauzon, which was a little bit harsh. So I feel a wee bit sorry for him in that respect, because Joe Lauzon's obviously a tough fighter, and then he got cut. He went on a five-fight win streak, or a four-fight win streak, and I fought him, and it was a kind of close decision. I think I gave him a little bit too much respect. It was the first sort of UFC fighter I had fought, and that maybe got to my head a little, but regardless, I went out and gave him a good fight. I nearly finished him in the second round. I had his back with a body triangle and stuff. So yeah, he won a decision the first time. I went to Cage Warriors. I done a four-man tournament, beat two guys in one night, won the title. And then I lost on New Year's Eve to Ivan Buchner, where I said that I was dominating the fight, and he managed to catch me. He left Cage Warriors and went to M1, the promotion M1. I've actually heard that he's dropped a featherweight and he's won the M1 title now.
So. Oh, wow.
Glad for him, Mike. Good on him.
Oh, yeah,
I heard that was another sort of, he got beat up and then won. He's kind of done that a lot of his fights, so good on him. And so the Cage Warriors belt went vacant. Yeah, Kurt Warburton signed with Cage Warriors, so that was it. The rematch was on. And I went out, and it was like a safe fight. We were both not really getting out of first gear, and it was like hit for hit. And after the first round, I just felt like I had won. I won that round. My coaches were sort of assuring me, like, yeah, I think you were busier that round. I think that round's to you. But it was close, pick up the pace a bit, and I just kind of kept, we got into a rhythm where we just kept going out and throwing sort of one shot and moving and one shot, and I just felt like I was always hitting him a little more than he was hitting me, so I didn't ever want to change it because I felt like I was winning. So it was like one of the only boring fights I've ever had. But what mattered is I won the belt in the end. It was a split decision. One of the judges gave it to me, like, all five rounds to me. Another judge gave it, like, three rounds to two. And then the last judge gave it three rounds to him. Three rounds to two to him. So, Cage Warriors asked me to fight him again. And me being the champion and just who I am anyway, it was on. I haven't ever declined a fight. So, yeah, rematched him. And this time there was a little bit of rivalry where we were talking to each other on Twitter and stuff, kind of messaging back and forward, and it was getting a bit personal. So at the weigh-ins, we were head-to-head, and he was pushing forward head-to-head, and then we pushed each other and stuff. He was getting a little angry. I was just laughing. You see it in the weigh-in video. Smiling at him. I think I just got in his head. He was nervous. It was in his hometown again, and he knew that I was like a better fighter now. He beat me 2 years ago, but he even said 2 years ago in his interview after the fight that he's glad that he's fought me now and beat me now, because he wouldn't like to fight me in a few years' time. And then that was happening. So yeah, I went out and just wanted to finish him. I didn't want points. So this fight, I was able to get out of first gear. I just went out and it was a close first round. A little bit weird. I took him down and he kept trying to go for leg locks. So we ended up on a 50-50 guard. And luckily, I work quite a lot of leg locks in the gym. And he was kind of the one that was in more danger than I was. And then, I've managed to land a big left hand on him in the second round, nearly knocked him out, and followed up. He gave me his back, and then I choked him out. So
beautiful. And how rewarding was it to finish him, who's probably your biggest rival, it would seem?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of there was a lot of hype, and because it was the third fight, it was one apiece. To go out and finish him, just obviously I never ever knew. You don't know what's going to happen in a fight. I just prepare for the worst, which is obviously a five round win. Well, the worst would be losing, obviously, but just prepare for a five round war, hoping that you win. You don't ever know, because they're training just as hard as you are. Anything can happen in MMA. But yeah, I knew that I could finish him. I knew I could submit him or knock him out. It just kind of depends on what happens. So to go out there and actually make a statement, hurt him on the feet with the left hand I landed, and then just sort of I landed up with a heavy ground and pound, and then submitting him as well. So it was good to kind of dominate him in every area in the fight, because before, in the interviews and stuff, he was saying like that I've not been in wars before, and he's going to test how my heart is, and he might take me down and see how my jiu-jitsu is, and he thinks he's going to bully me. He said that in the pre-fight interview. He thinks he's going to be able to bully me this fight. So to go out and do what I did, it's pretty funny if you go and listen to his interview now and then watch the fight. It's just so good to put an end to the rivalry, because, like I said, I've done a lot for MMA, like moved my family. I'm basically living in a place that I don't really like. I don't like living there, but I've got to do it, because it wouldn't work out me living in Fife still and travelling to training like every day. It's cost a lot on petrol as well, and that's another sort of problem that I've got. I don't make a lot of money, so yeah, definitely. UFC is where I'm looking to get. I want to follow in the footsteps to Conor McGregor. He's the last person that had the Cage Warriors belt, the belt that I've got in my house now. He had it.
Okay.
So, yeah, he basically left Cage Warriors that belt, and that's how I was fighting for it, because he got signed to the UFC, so the Cage Warriors belt was vacant. So he kind of inspires me as a fighter, because he's making so much money now, and he was like signing on the dole before the UFC call and stuff, getting benefits. So
signing on the dole, what's that mean?
getting benefits, getting paid from the government.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh wow.
Basically making no money at all, and then he gets the UFC call. Four fights later, he's making six figures.
Yeah, that's
money.
So basically, we call that welfare over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's the one.
That's a great story.
That's what I'm looking to do. I'm not quite claiming welfare, but I'm just basically living on the fight money that I get.
Yeah.
And when you've got two kids. I've actually got two kids and one on the way.
Oh, well, good for you.
My partner's pregnant. I heard your partner's pregnant as well, actually.
Yes, she is. Thanks, brother.
Both of them are.
When's yours due?
I'm going to have three kids. I'm young. Like, a lot of people tell me that I'm young and I've got a lot of time and I'll get to the UFC. But when you've got two kids to look after and another one on the way, I kind of look at it like I've not got a lot of time, because there's been a few times I've thought about just quitting MMA because there's not a lot of money in it. In the UFC there is, you can make a lot of money, but everywhere outside the UFC you don't make much money at all. And the amount of time, like you said, I'm Cage Warriors world champion, so the amount of time I have to put in to training, I don't work. My partner is a full-time parent, like she looks after to the kids, so it is a big struggle. So I'm looking to hopefully Dana White, Sean Shelby, or Joe Silva, hopefully they give me a chance to prove myself worthy and become the sort of Scottish version of Conor McGregor.
There we go. Well, we got to start smack talking a little bit, you know, take it to that Conor McGregor level.
Calling people out and stuff.
That's it. Obviously, your fight record certainly speaks for itself with your wins and your title, you know, wins over Kurt Warburton, that they know that Kurt's a tough guy. And now you got the Cage Warriors title, and you've held the Cage Warriors title now. That's a big deal. So you're probably very close to being pulled up. Now it's just a matter of timing and opportunity. But the best way to get ready is to stay ready, is to keep preparing for your, you know, toughest challenge, which you had said earlier, that you prepare for the worst. And that's what you need to keep doing. So when that phone call comes, brother, you're ready to jump in, whether it's a day's notice, 2 months' notice, doesn't matter, that you're just ready to just keep knocking these guys down. And I know Joe Silva does a great job keeping his eyes out for great talent.
Yeah, 100%. I heard they're going to London the 28th of February, so that's a little bit perfect for my next fight, because it gives me a little bit of time off just now. When I mean time off, I just mean like I'm still training. Like, I've been training straight away. I was doing strength conditioning yesterday, and then an hour of Thai boxing. And I would have done the jiu-jitsu as well, but I've just had some ink done, tattoo on my arm. So, but I'm right back in it, and that's another thing I can give you a shout out for, with the 3 weeks to Shredded, or even just following your sort of principles. Like, usually after a fight, I go a little bit off the rails with food, like Domino's, and eating just all the wrong stuff. But this time I've not been doing that at all. I have had a little bit of treats here and there, a little bit of chocolate and stuff, but I've still just been having the Dolce bowl like in the morning, chia seeds and all the fruit, because I've been enjoying that. So I'm basically following the 3 weeks to Shredded still, but just having bigger portions.
That's it, brother. That's the way.
And yeah, it just feels amazing. To be in healthy style.
Body still looking good, feeling good?
Yeah, that's another good thing. I forgot how good it looked to have a tight t-shirt on, and the abs are still showing. I look a bit bigger and stuff now.
Yeah.
Whereas before I have to have two different sizes of closets. I have my clothes for when I get a little bit fat, and then my clothes for when I'm weight cutting. So I'm trying to get out of that bad habit. I go up to sometimes far too heavy, 90 kilos. Not sure what that is in pounds, but like 20 kilos heavier than my fight weight and stuff.
Yeah, that's
so
that's
a lot
serious.
Of the time when I'm in fight camp, I'm actually dieting way further out to diet to my walk around weight, and then I'm actually starting my proper diet to get to the fight weight. So it makes it twice as hard. And I think I heard that on one of your podcasts the other day, that somebody was doing that. But I'm definitely going to try and keep my weight down now. And then I can train harder and then diet for the 3 weeks. Just do the 3 weeks to Shredded, the last 3 weeks. And I can train hard the whole other sort of 8 weeks before it.
That's it. Now let's switch over to your lifestyle a little bit. How, give us, during training camp, what's your average day? I want to hear about the sacrifices that you're making to do what you love.
Sorry, what is that, when I'm in fight camp or?
In fight camp.
When I'm in fight camp, right. When I was in fight camp, like I said, I've just moved to a place where I don't really know anyone apart from my training people. So I live in a 3-bedroom house with my fiance and 2 kids. I would get up in the morning, I would have my breakfast, so it was the Dolce bowl. I would go to the Grip House, which was roughly a 30-minute drive in Glasgow, and I would do my training there. So if it was Monday, I would sometimes be doing a PT, a personal training session with one of my coaches, and then a class after it. I would sometimes have physio after that as well. So I'd be away maybe three and a half hours. I would get home maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes. I would have my dinner, pick up my son for nursery. Then basically I'd make my kids dinner and then make my own dinner. And then it's out to training again. And then I do a little bit of PTs myself, so I do some coaching just to try and make a little bit of money and stuff. So sometimes it's like, go out, I do my PTs, I get home, try and have my lunch, and then go to training at night time again. And this time, because listening to your podcast is, again, it's all about, like, I've been preparing my meals a lot more, whereas before, I was sort of struggling, I was getting in, I never had enough time to eat, then I would go to training, because I hadn't ate, my training session was rubbish, so yeah, but anyway, then I would train, and then pretty much go home, go to sleep, wake up the next day, drive to the grip house, and it was that every single day. Training through the day, training at night time, but away for a lot of the hours. And then my partner's like in the house, she doesn't know anybody, she's not got any friends here yet, so she gets a bit upset and stuff, and she's always on the phone to her family just because she's so lonely being out here. So we're in a little bit of a predicament just now. Not sure if we don't know what to do, because we're at the owner of our house is actually selling, because we private let, so we need to move house anyway, and we're not sure if we're going to move back to where I used to live and try and find maybe sponsors to help with the travelling to my training and stuff, but not sure what to do. But yeah, it's like, it's really hard just because of that. She struggles more than I do, because she's like got the kids more, and I'm at least getting out to train. But when I'm in fight camp, my life's just basically train, and that's it. And when I'm home, I've got the sort of duties of being a dad. I've got to, like, basically everything you do with being a dad, like feed them, dress them, deal with them crying. Everything. It's mad.
Yeah.
I should have definitely waited to have kids.
And how old are you? You there, Steve?
Hey, mate. Oh.
There you go.
My life being a dad and being a full-time fighter, it's really tough.
Sure. And how old are you?
I'm 24.
24.
So I am, yeah. So you're quite young.
You are a young guy, and you do have a long future in the sport. And you keep doing what you're doing, things will only get better. And that's the one thing that we realize with all the world champions, all the top performers, anybody that's successful, they go through a period of sacrifice, of extreme sacrifice. And fortunately, I'll say right now that your family is sacrificing with you, because this bond will make you guys that much stronger when you do hit success and you look back on the times that were tough. I know that you're going through it right now and it's difficult, but you're still out there pursuing your dream with great opportunity. And Conor McGregor is a great example. I'm sure he had times where he sat around and he looked around his flat and he's getting the check from the government coming in and probably not feeling that good about himself, but he persevered. He kept to his dream, and look what happened. Now he's one of the highest paid athletes in the UFC with a very, very bright future, and you're not far from that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what inspires me and makes me sort of keep going, and I hope that one day I do look back and just laugh and just say that I told you so, because like Natalie, my partner's family as well, they kind of give me a hard time sometimes, just because obviously when I'm struggling, Natalie has to struggle as well, so they sometimes think that I should just go and get a job and provide, and so I can look after them better and they're not going through the stress that I am. But I hope that one day I do just get the UFC call, and when I do get it, I'm going to stay there, I'm going to make some money and live a much better life, and then I can say to them, like, I told you so.
There you go.
I could have went and got a job and had more money and be a little happier, but for how long? I'd much rather struggle for a little bit and then have a much better life and look back and laugh. You only live once, so you may as well try and achieve the most potential that you can.
That's right, especially now when you have the opportunity where you can always go and get a job. You're 24 years old, at 25, at 28, at 30, you can get a job and then work that job for 50 years. But you can't always be a world champion mixed martial artist or a professional athlete. You can't always travel the world getting paid big dollars to do what you love and what you're blessed with the ability to do. And the people that stand with you during the low times, they're the ones that deserve to be there during the high times. And it's funny. A lot of successful people, you know, once they become rich and famous, all of a sudden they just get a lot more friends and a lot more supporters. But during the low times, they're very lonely.
Yep. And definitely. You've got the true people that are there for you, backing you, the true friends and true people. But you've got all the fake ones as well who want to be your friend just because you've made it. I know who they are, though. I know who's all the people that's there for me and stuff.
That's perfect. And keep that list and you know, keep that in your mind and definitely make sure you take care of your girl for standing with you all this time. It's amazing to have a partner like that that supports you. And I know it's tough. It's tough for her. I mean, Brandy and I, we left our jobs. We left our families, left everything we knew in New Jersey. We drove all the way across the country to the other side. It was the farthest point in the United States from where we grew up. And we lived in a tiny little apartment. We sacrificed everything. We had to sell one of the cars. We're sharing one car. I'm riding the bike back and forth to the gym every day, making no. I made $14,000 that year, the entire year, which in the United States, that does not go very far. And we sacrificed all the way through that time. And she was a trooper and not hung in there. And just like you, she didn't have any friends out there. And it was just, we were working split shifts. She was working at night. I was working early in the morning. I'd get home from work. She'd already be gone. By the time she'd get home, it'd be, you know, almost 2 o'clock in the morning. I have to get up and go to work in 3 hours. And it was this crazy lifestyle, this crazy schedule. But we look back that now, very fine. I mean, our first dinner table was a plastic picnic table. You know, we had to go to the Goodwill and get, you know, plastic furniture just so we had something to sit and eat, because we were sitting on the floor. We didn't have any furniture at first. And those are the stories that we look back now, and those are some of our proudest moments, actually, because we know we earned everything. Any sort of success, we did it together. We earned our way. We always stayed true, and we made sure that we had fun, and we enjoyed those moments, those small little moments in life, because that allows us to appreciate any sort of success that we've had since then.
Yeah, I think it's much better once you do make it, and you do make a success of your life or your career, that you've done it and you've came from nowhere. I don't think it would feel as good if you were already rich or you already had the money. You didn't really need it as much. So much better feeling if you've not had all that and you've struggled, and once you get to the top, it'll just feel amazing.
Absolutely. And there's people out there that were born into success, and it was very easy for them to find success because they were privileged and they don't appreciate the position that they're in. And that's one of the worst things that there could be, because they don't appreciate the beauty and there's no true pride in what they've accomplished. And I think Nick Lentz made a great, when he was trying to get the fight with Conor McGregor, he sent out a tweet to Conor McGregor. He said, "Dana White placed you on third base and you're acting like you swung and hit a triple," which I thought was funny. I'm not, you know, teasing Conor here, but it was that type of statement that's used in other aspects of life, where there's a lot of people that are born on third base. They just happen to be placed there. They have the money that they can get private coaches and private training, and they don't have to worry about putting petrol in their car or what meals they're going to eat, because everything's provided for. So for them to be a well-trained athlete is easy. And they don't take it for granted when they have some sort of success. Where somebody like you, man, you had to bust your ass. I'm looking at your fight career, 16-5. You fought a list of some of the baddest guys around, and you're on the top of the heap right now. You're the Cage Warriors lightweight world champion. That's a big accomplishment, just one step away now from the UFC.
Well, I started training 5 years ago. I think I've been fighting for about 4.5. In that time, I've had 3 kids. I've had 29 fights, 21 pro fights.
Oh, wow.
So 21 pro fights. I had 7 semi-pro or amateur fights. I've had 1 Thai boxing fight. And in that time, I've had 2 kids, and I've got another one on the way. I've moved house twice. or three times, and it's been a roller coaster.
That's awesome, man. I freaking love that. I love your story. Now, what's next for you? So you're at the cottage. You're on a little holiday with the family. Perfect. Now let's look into the future. What are you looking to do next?
Fight wise, I'll just be getting right back into training. Now's the time for getting better. When you're in fight camp, you're not really getting better in the long term. You're getting sharper, you're getting faster and stuff. But now's the time I'm putting the gi back on. So I'm currently a BJJ blue belt. I feel like I am at purple belt level, but I've just not sort of got used to the grips and stuff as in the gi. So no gi, I'm maybe at purple belt level.
But
sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Keep going.
So just putting the gi on, looking to get my purple belt in BJJ, and then just looking to improve everywhere, improving the wrestling and push to, I hope that I do get sort of a call or a chance. I think the UFC are giving their dates out on the 17th, so 10 days time they're giving their dates out for next year. I've heard some rumours that they're coming to Scotland, so if they were, then I'd have a good chance of getting a fight. And then I'm hoping I could maybe get fighting on the February card in London, because that's not too far away. And I sell a good amount of tickets and stuff too, so the UFC should like that.
Absolutely. Now, who's your manager?
My manager, it's just, they've not got any UFC fighters at the moment. It's just a guy that I know, he's been my management for the last 3 years, I think, and they've stuck by me. And I think they've been in contact with Sean and Gary Cook, and also my teammate, my coach, James Doolan. He's actually the partner. He's engaged to Joanne Calderwood, so he's been in contact with the matchmakers and stuff as well, because he's currently speaking to them about Joanne and stuff. So I think he's mentioned me, and I'm just really waiting to hear back if I get a chance. And once the fight card starts getting announced for the London card, hopefully they get loads of 155ers on. So even if I don't like get the chance to fight on it, then if there's people at my weight, then I'll just train anyway as if I did have a fight, and hopefully they would give me a chance.
Absolutely.
Like if there was any pullouts. So
start preparing for it now. Now, is there anybody in particular in the UFC that you want to fight that you think would be a good fight?
I know every single one's going to be a tough fight. It's the UFC, so. But I think I'm sitting about fifth in the UK rankings. I might go up now. We're beating Kurt again. I might go third. The only two people that are above me above me in their UK rankings is Norman Park from Ireland and Ross Pearson. So I'm looking to get to that number one spot. Obviously, Ross Pearson's not a first fight. In the UFC, because he's like right up there. He's been around a long time and stuff. He's a training partner of Kurt's, actually.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I'm eventually looking to get there. I'm wanting to be number one, not even in the UK, in the world. But it takes time to get there. I'll fight anybody, though. If they did give me Ross Pearson, I would fight him. Fight anybody.
That's what we want to hear.
There's not really anybody that I can see that I would fight. Just whoever they want me to fight, I'll fight anybody.
I'll fight anybody. Well, think about pulling the Conor technique and just start, get on Twitter and start chopping it up. Start trying to call some people out. Get your name out there. I know Joe Silva and Shelby, they're probably looking at you. It's good that you got people talking for you. But the best person to talk for you is yourself. So make sure that you are talking.
I will do.
Get that out there. Awesome, Steven. It's been great having you on. Now, your Twitter is at Steven Ray MMA, correct?
Yeah, at Steven with a V, Ray, R-A-Y, MMA.
MMA. And then Facebook page?
Facebook page, just I've got it's just Stephen Ray. If you just type in Facebook, just type in my name. I've got a sort of fan page that I'm trying to build at the moment, and I've got my personal page as well.
Okay, so Facebook, and what we'll do is we'll link that for the show so everybody knows where they can find you and they can cheer for you and root you on. And everybody, let's start reaching out to Joe Silva, Dana White, and let them know that Stephen Ray is here and he deserves to be in the UFC. We want to see him out there applying his skills against the best in the world.
Yeah, that'd be great. I can't even believe I'm speaking to you. I've been pacing around this room I'm in right now for the last hour. It just feels amazing, like coming from where I've came from and I'm speaking to Mike Dolce on his podcast, and oh, it feels amazing.
Awesome, brother. Well, you deserve it. I'm psyched that I'm speaking to Stephen Ray, man, the Cage Warriors lightweight champion. It's an honor to have you on the show and to be a little part of your career. And we're going to keep talking, man. Whatever I can do to help you as we move forward, I'm very excited about what you're doing, brother. So I'm all in. I'm happy to help, and I want to see you win that UFC world title.
Yep, perfect. Thanks for making that book and me buying it and helping me with the weight cut and even messaging me on Twitter like after my weight cut and helping me what to eat and stuff. And it was just felt amazing.
Absolutely. Thanks. Mo, it's a pleasure. And give our best to your family, and looking forward to talking to you guys some more.
Yep. Thanks, mate.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon, Steve.
Right. Okay. Speak soon. Bye. Bye. Bye.
There we go, everybody. Stephen Ray, MMA. And what a good kid, right? You can hear that come across in his voice. What a good person. That's what I like. Good person, good family man. Young kid. He's only 24 years old, everybody. 24 years old. He's got 21 professional fights, 29 fights in total. And he's really sacrificing. His whole family is sacrificing to achieve their dream, his dream. And that dream is big. So ladies and gentlemen out there, have you put your dream aside for whatever responsibilities in life that you may have? And do you regret that? Was it absolutely necessary? Did you have to do that? And we all, you know, have to do the responsible thing. And there's certain responsible things that we must do, but we can also sacrifice. Sometimes sacrificing is the best thing for you. Not taking the easier route, because it would be easier for Steven to get a job, working 40 hours, bringing home a nice little paycheck, taking care of his family, going through that. But how happy would he be? How miserable would he be a year, 5 years, 10 years, when now he can't compete as a professional mixed martial artist anymore? And maybe he wouldn't be the world champion. Then what? The possibility of missing out on his dream. Well, that's not fair. That's not what this life is about. Life is about achieving your dreams, pursuing your dreams. And if we don't get there through our best effort, if we still don't get there, we can walk away with our head high and transition to the B plan, the backup plan. We can make that transition. That's not a problem. But if we don't attempt, that's what we regret. And I know that there's a ton of people listening right now that have regrets in their life because they didn't do what they wanted to do. They did what everyone thought they should do or what they were told they should do. And I understand. I did that. You guys know my story. I did that. I took the job as a municipal tax assessor. I worked the suit and tie gig for almost 4 years. And for a good 6 of those years, I was miserable. Nice paycheck, great office, good lifestyle, not happy. Just dragging myself into the office every day. Come Sunday, I'd wake up Sunday just in dread. Even Friday, I'd get off of work on Friday. I'd have the weekend to look forward to, and I'd be like, fuck. I got to go back on Monday. And there's people that think that right now, because you guys send me emails every day when you talk about your own personal story. It's not until I quit that, resigned from that, left that, and took that job, what I can call I don't want to call it a shitty little job, but the lifestyle wasn't the best that I talked about with Brandy. Having eaten dinner on a plastic picnic table in our first apartment on the other. I went from a condo on the beach with 2 cars in the driveway in New Jersey to a little small apartment. It was clean, but it was tiny, eaten off of a plastic picnic table because, hey, we had to cut costs. That's what we could afford at the time to make our dream happen. And there you go. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to motivate. I want you to sacrifice with intelligence. Don't just sacrifice, as Dolce said, and get hooked on meth living in a box somewhere. No, that's not what we're talking about. Come on now. What we're talking about is find a way. And even if you are being responsible, I get it. You have the job. There's other ways that you can push, that you can live your dream. You can attempt to live your dream. You can be a part of it. You can find that personal satisfaction somewhere. Don't just sit there every day and be miserable. Life is too short to be miserable. You need to get out. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to shake yourself out of this and start moving forward in life. Now, whatever your story is, live it. Live it. Create it. You are the one that writes the chapters of your own story. That's very important. So there might be 4, 5, 20 chapters already written, but there are still chapters to come. Your decisions each and every day, that's what makes these chapters. That's what builds your own personal book. What is your story going to be? When the story is finally over, what will your story be? And we all have the power, we all have the ability to write that story. I get so many emails, so much communication from people that they're just miserable. They're miserable in life and they come to me and they want me to save them. And no matter what advice I try and give, they typically cut me off halfway through and tell me why they can't. Well, I can't help people that can't try. And that you don't need me to try. You just need to start making a difference right now. Start making a change right now. Just smile right now and be happy right now and be positive and start setting goals and start planning a future and start doing the things for yourself that make you happy. That's how we start rewriting our book. That's how the book has a happy ending, no matter the beginning. No matter the middle, let's have a happy ending. Thank you guys so much for the time, taking the time to listen to the episode. Unfortunately, Dr. Lane Norton, he had to cancel on today's show, and we're going to try and get him scheduled here pretty soon. He had a traveling issue. I hope he's okay. Looking forward to speaking with Lane here pretty soon. I got some big guests coming up. I'm not going to release them right now. Zach Evanesh, we're still rescheduling. That was an audio issue over here while he was traveling, so Zach's going to get on soon. But we have some other big-name guests also that I'm excited to share with you guys. Want to thank our sponsors, Onnit.com/Dolce. You guys know we love the total human optimization of Onnit, and they have some of the best healthy, healthy products. They have so many different products right now, from kettlebells and maces to unconventional resistance training implements to coffee that they sell. They sell their Colombian Amber coffee powered by Caveman Coffee Co. They have amazing products. Their Hemp Force is a Dolce approved product. We love the Hemp Force. They have the Choco Free Metabolate that we talk about in 3 weeks of Shredded Revised. Their Alpha Brain, I have completed the Alpha Brain challenge. There's just so much data. I haven't compiled the data yet to share to you guys, but the Alpha Brain is a winner, everybody. I do love it. I do use it. I'm not on it today, but I'm on it quite a bit. I love the Alpha Brain. All Dolce approved. So go to onnit.com/Dolce. Save 10% off of everything. Beautiful. Also, we want to thank our friends at cavemanfoods.com/Dolce. Everybody, jump off this podcast right now. Just go to cavemanfoods.com/Dolce. Make sure you type that in because your cookie gets saved. You immediately get 10% on what you order. Type in promo code Dolce. Let me just be sure that the new site is equipped. So make sure you type in promo code Dolce. Also, check out the new site. Check out the products. I think you're going to absolutely love what they have to offer. It's really cool to see that they invested the money into this new website to offer you just amazing products, and we love it. We gave those away for Halloween, and our little kitties in the neighborhood loved it. And again, Caveman Coffee Company, cavemancoffeeco.com. There's no backslash, but you type in Dolce, you save 10%. And I think Caveman Coffee Co. is changing the world. I cannot get out of bed now without my Caveman Coffee. Absolutely delicious, amazing, digests so clean. It's this pure burning fuel that I am leaner, I'm stronger. I drink it before my workouts, I drink it before meetings, I drink it before the podcast, I drink it while I'm podcasting. And we make what we call the Invincible Blend. That is 1 tablespoon of MCT oil, 1 tablespoon of grass-fed butter. You can sub out the coconut oil for the MCT oil, and it is delicious. delicious. Throw it in the blender for 10 seconds. Boom, you are done. There we go. Anybody else we want to thank? I think that's it for now. So I want to thank you guys for always being on the show, always listening. Make sure if you follow us on iTunes that you are subscribed to our channel. And ladies and gentlemen, send us some comments. I would love to see your comments. We go through, we read those message boards. And anybody that's on the fence. Now, how about this? If you have any of the Dolce books, any of the Dolce products, wherever you purchase the product, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Kindle, whether it's Barnes & Noble, whether it's Nook, what have you, whether it's iTunes, if you guys could, I'm going to ask, because if you don't ask, you don't get, leave us a 5-star review. We would appreciate that. But also, take a few seconds to leave comments. I bumped into a kid the other day in the coffee shop who said that he was going to buy our book, but then he thought not to because it's very meat heavy. I said, why do you know? It's actually not. We have a lot of plant-based products in our meal plan. We're very well balanced. He's like, oh, well, I read a review and somebody said that every meal is steak. That's not, it's not true. So again, there's people that they put misinformation out there. I haven't seen this yet. He was super stoked because I had spoken with him 2 or 3 times in the shop. He was super stoked. And he's like, yeah, I didn't realize, man, that you have such a meat heavy diet. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, well, every meal has red meat in it. It's totally, totally not true. And he's like, oh, well, I read a review that said that, so I decided not to. I said, whoa, all right. So if you guys can just tell the truth, all I ask of you is tell the truth. Just if you could take the 30 seconds, again, 5-star review, that's awesome. That certainly helps. And then just leave a 2 sentences from your perspective, your opinion. That's what we want to hear, your personal experience, because you can help somebody change their life. If we've helped change your life, we just ask you to help somebody else change their life. That's awesome. We appreciate it. Anything else? We have the Dolce Certification Program. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, there's a few days left to get the early bird registration fee. Also, you get to work out with me for free the morning of the event here in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. There will be no better seminar, I guarantee it. I'm going to drop such knowledge on you. You think this podcast is good? Well, take this podcast and times it by 20 and put it on PEDs, because that's what this seminar series is going to be at the Mandalay Bay, December 6th, the morning of UFC 182, Hendricks versus Lawler, Melendez versus Pettis. Come on now. If you're in Las Vegas, if you live in Las Vegas, if you live in California, if you live close enough to be here, make sure you get here. But ladies and gentlemen, you have to sign up now because spots are going extremely fast. They're almost done. The morning workout is free, and it's expensive to train with me, and I'm going to train you. I'm not going to crush you. I'm going to teach you, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to work out together. It's going to be a great bonding experience. And once we've worked out together, once we've been together, we're family. We're family from that point on. But also, those that do attend the seminar, you become the first eligible to be a Dolce certified coach. Now, that certification program, I think, is going to be the best in the world. And that's not just because I say it, it's because I have the content. We've created the curriculum, and it is a college-level course that we are going to allow you to take to be a Dolce certified coach. And I don't know of any accreditation that will give you more notoriety within your field, whether you're a coach, whether you're a personal trainer, whether you're a gym owner, or whether it's just for you. We're going to give you all the education you need to really change your life, change people's lives. So again, December 6th, Las Vegas, the Dolce Diet Seminar. Go to thedolcediet.com to sign up, but you got to sign up right now, and we have lots of bonuses, lots of benefits for the early birds that sign up. With that, I want to thank you all for listening, and remember, don't count calories, make calories count. Boom!
The Mike Dolce Show.
Because you can't, and you don't stop. Because you can't.